Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good morning, good afternoon, good whatever time you happen to be listening to this. Welcome to Science by Trianon's podcast series, Leaders in Sustainability. I am Marcus.
I'm Audrey.
And this week we are delighted to have with us Deanne Noyes, Mrs. Beans. Deanne, over to you. Who are you?
Yes, I love beans. So I am French and American. I've been in Belgium for 3 years. And I've been on a journey as a flexitarian to reduce my meat consumption. And it's been a personal struggle. And so I decided to combine that journey with my background, 15 years in CPG brand management, with the way I grew up. I grew up in 10 different countries. I was the daughter of a diplomat, and as a result, I came to take for granted some of the flavors out there in the world that are just amazing, and I take them for granted. They're part of me, and now I realize I can thread that into my business idea to offer everyone some ready-to-eat, flavorful, spiced beans with influences from around the world.
Okay, that's very interesting. So let's go back to basics. So you're here because we consider you as a leader in sustainability. And to start this interview, I'm going to ask you, what do you do in your daily basis to be a sustainable citizen, a responsible one?
Yeah, good question. First and foremost, I don't eat meat. And secondly, my husband does, so I know it's acceptable. And secondly, I avoid food waste. So what that concretely means is, like, when I buy groceries, I buy very little at a time. And if I see things starting to go bad, I'll give you an example. The spaghetti sauce immediately within a week forms some kind of like white specks on top. I just spoon it out and the rest is great. So I do things to avoid food waste. And I reuse packaging as much as I can, even saran wrap that you put, you know, to cover bowls. I just put it aside and then I reuse it one more time, or plastic bags. So that's what I do on a personal level. And okay. I bike a lot.
Could you introduce us? So you are the CEO of Cool Beans Food. And we would like to know what brought you to become, to create that company, and what is it that you do exactly?
Yes. So I'm going to delve a little bit into the journey that I mentioned at the beginning. Maybe like 10 years ago, I was looking for ways to reduce my meat consumption. And over time, what I did is first I went pescatarian. And then with the emergence of a lot of these very mediatized startups like Beyond Meat or Impossible Foods, I was in the U.S. at the time, so I was just buying those up. I was eating a lot of those. I was eating them every day.
Excuse me to interrupt you. Can you tell to our audience what a pescatarian is?
Oh, yeah. It's vegetarian plus eating fish. So when these startups started appearing at Whole Foods and places like that, I was just gobbling it up, literally. I would just eat it every day. And over time, I started kind of feeling not so good about it. Kind of like when you binge at McDonald's and how you feel afterwards, it sort of felt like that. I don't know if you can relate to that, but. And I started looking at it and reading about it and realized that it's just processed foods. That's all it is. I mean, sure, it's plant-based. Sure, there's no meat, but it's just as bad for you as you know, if I eat a bag of Doritos or something. And so then I had to change my journey and look more towards more natural products. And that's what led me to legumes, pulses, which is the seed of the legume, which is beans in other words. And I had a really hard time understanding how to use them. So I started buying, you know, off the shelf, like shelf stable, like canned beans and stuff. And they were okay. They didn't taste awesome. And I started buying, I kind of went a little more serious and started soaking my own beans, et cetera, experimenting with that. And that actually was much tastier, but a lot harder to do. I had to plan ahead. I had to remember to soak the beans. I had to know exactly how long to cook them, with what spices. And so it was very tasty, but I realized this is an obstacle to consumption of pulses, definitely. So that's how I came about the idea in the context of a market just tremendously growing. Plant-based foods in Belgium specifically. Plant-based meats are growing 17% in the last 2 years. That's one example. So in the context of this growth and opportunity, I felt like there was need in the market. There was an untouched space And it was quite simply unprocessed, natural stewed beans. Very old school. I mean, countries around the world do it. India does it. Italy does it. So many, but it somehow it disappeared from our plate.
Interesting. And so cool beans foods, what is it exactly?
Yeah, so it's a line of ready-to-eat, non-processed, so no additives. It's not turned into some kind of powder or something weird. It's the beans, and they're pre-soaked, and then they're stewed with spices. And that's where kind of knowledge of different parts of the world comes into play. I also work with a vegan chef who helps me develop these recipes. And so they're sold in the fresh aisle, which tastes way better than canned. Next to, they would compete with the kind of the fake meats and stuff, but they're more natural. Okay. And they have a lot of protein in them.
Yes.
As a result.
To go back to the protein. So first of all, for what I know about you, you used to run a lot, like
yes.
doing Ironman or stuff like this. So can you tell the sportive listener that we have, will they be okay with eating beans?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So in 2017, I did a half marathon, and then in 2018, I did a marathon, and then I was training for a half Ironman, and then COVID hit. But the point is that between the half marathon and the marathon, I thought I needed more protein, and so I became an inveterate carnivore. I was eating double patties of bison burgers, like, every other day, and I gained weight. I mean, right away, it was, and I'm not one to gain weight, and I gained weight. And then when I started training for my marathon, I realized it didn't really, eating all that meat didn't really help my performance at all. It didn't change anything. It just made me a little fatter is all it did. And so really, I realized that we are kind of, especially in the U.S., but here in Europe, you see it as well, we're kind of a little bit brainwashed to seek high protein content everywhere. And we don't need it, especially sports where you burn a lot of energy, like running. You need carbohydrates is what you really need. And so that's where you get to legumes and pasta, et cetera. But meat as in itself, we don't need that much protein.
Okay.
And even bodybuilders, I mean, there's plenty of instances of famous bodybuilders or football players in the U.S. who are who don't eat meat or vegan.
Okay.
So it is possible.
So, okay, so now let's go into the convivial part of things. So let's say, so I don't know how your family is, but me, for example, I like meat, fish, everything. And if I had someone for dinner who would eat only vegetables, I would have a problem to make something good. Okay? Can you tell us what your product brings to that? What solves that problem?
Very good question. So it's funny because different types of people with different types of diets have different reactions. So when I talk to a meat eater, carnivore through and through, and I talk about this line, their reaction is, oh, that would be a really great side with my meat. And I laugh. But it is true. I mean, if there's beans on that plate, maybe there will be less meat, which is kind of my goal. And then there's, you know, people more like me who don't eat meat. We're like, oh, great. I really need a source of plant protein. That's fantastic. So because really what it is, it's tasteful plant protein. It can then be used, mm-hmm. either you can eat it straight up, but it can also be used embedded into other recipes. So you could potentially make a meat chili and use my tasty taco bean recipe and just blend it together potentially. So
okay.
It's versatile.
At the beginning of this interview, you said you were flexitarian. So what does it mean?
Yeah, so flexitarian is someone who's omnivore but wants to reduce their meat consumption. And the primary motive of that, according to research I read, is personal health. Secondly, sustainability.
Okay, so why are beans more sustainable than meat?
Yeah, so they are. They are one of the most sustainable sources of protein. And there are several reasons for that. The first reason is that they use much fewer resources, obviously, than animal agriculture. That's the primary reason. And a lot of these beans are very compatible with climate volatility. They're drought resistant. They can handle volatility much better than some of the other crops. And that becomes important in our increasing environment of global warming and weird freak weather patterns. And then the second reason is that unlike a lot of other crops, they return nutrients to the soil. They fix nitrogen in the soil. That means that when you think of agriculture and a lot of monoculture, specifically in the crop rotations they have to do to keep the soil healthy, well, with beans, you're keeping the soil healthy no matter what. So you don't have to, you know, have a field lay fallow for years thanks to the beans. So those are the two key reasons.
So you offer beans. They allow us to be more sustainable. According to you, they are it's good.
Yeah.
So you were talking about spices that you put in. You were talking about, for example, me. I have tasted tofu, and I think that is sorry for the vegetarian that are here listening. It's not good. What is good is the sauce that goes with it, right? Tell me, what's the difference with the beans?
Yeah, so first of all, I think that is, you mentioned a key difference between meat and plant protein. Meat has, I will concede, a taste unto itself. You could just put salt on it and it would be very good. Plant-based protein, you have to rely on the seasoning you put in it to be good. And beans are the same way. Now, tofu is a bit farther down the growth scale for most people, I admit. But beans at least have a bit more texture to them than tofu. They have shape, they have texture, they have color. But really, in both cases, it comes down to the seasoning. So I guess I would prefer beans over tofu because simply they have all that color, all that texture. Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, some of them do have their own taste. I think chickpeas taste and lentils on their own with just salt are one of the few legumes that actually you can pull it off just like me.
Okay, so you've been singing the song of beans for a while now. Are there any disadvantages to beans?
Well, you say singing the song. I mean, there is this reputation of the musical fruit. I'll call that the elephant in the room that nobody likes to talk about, but everybody thinks about when you say beans. So there are ways to cook them to avoid, let's say, noisy problems, I'll say. Let's use the euphemism.
For the people who don't understand, we talked about flatulence.
Sure, let's call it that.
Let's call it that way.
So, you know the good old-fashioned American expression, beans, the musical fruit, the more you eat, the more you toot? Okay, well, there's ways to avoid that problem, and it's quite simple. You need to soak them 2 to 3 days so that the beans germinate a little bit and release some of that, we'll call it power, inside the bean. That leads to problems for us in digestion. So that's the key thing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, some people cook the beans with a teaspoon of baking soda. I wouldn't recommend that for lentils because then you taste the baking soda and it tastes bad. But for beans like black beans, for instance, or a tablespoon of baking soda helps. So I can say I'm not embarrassed to say I do not have any such problems. And I eat beans 3 times a day.
It's really rare that I know 3 days in advance what I'm going to eat. So what your product, do you solve that problem? Because
yes,
when you come back from work, you know, it's how you think, okay, what am I going to eat tonight? So
yes, there's two obstacles for flexitarians wanting to eat more plant-based protein. One is the perception that it doesn't taste good. And two is the perception that it's difficult to prepare. And that is certainly the case with beans. So the first obstacle that it doesn't taste good, I mean, I solve that with all the spices I add. It just really, you know, you have chipotle, you have cumin, you have, in another recipe, you have, you know, galanga and ginger. I mean, it tastes amazing. And then the convenience factor, I take away all that, you know, pre-planning and soaking and wondering how much, you know, baking soda to put in there or whatever. I solve that by offering a stewed beans that can then be integrated into recipe or eaten as is and that have all the tastiness in them and that take away all that planning when you're tired at night and you just don't want to deal and you're like, oh, I forgot to soak the beans. I told myself I'd do it yesterday. I forgot. Now what am I going to eat? I just take all that away.
Okay. Just to go back to we're going to talk now about sustainable entrepreneurship. You have your product that is sustainable. Good. What did you have to think of to be able to have your total value chain in the framework of sustainability?
Yeah. So when I launched this, I felt very lucky that I could build a business from scratch and do it in a way that was absolutely the most sustainable way possible. And I was very proud of myself for that. And that's where you get into idealism versus pragmatism. What I did in my supply chain to make it as sustainable as possible was, well, first let me back up and say the main sources of climate affecting greenhouse gases are first agriculture and food waste. Packaging is way farther down the line, and transportation is also way farther down the line. But when you're a shopper and a consumer, packaging is so visible. I mean, it's what you get, you know, it's in your hands. It's like, you might not see the waste in the agriculture or the food chain or whatever, but you see the packaging and it ends up stacking up in your blue bin or your garbage or whatever. So part of what I wanted to do was tackle that problem as best as possible. And packaging is so complicated because the biggest reason is that there's a misperception that it's critical in terms of sustainability, and it's really not the priority. And B, there's this perception that plastic is bad. So plastic is a controversial topic, but truthfully, glass is very hard to recycle and use a lot of energy to create. Glass is better if you use it at least 20 times. If you reuse 20 times and you don't recycle during that time, then yes, glass is better than plastic. But plastic, you know, it is a very efficient resource. So plastic being based on fossil fuels that are not renewable, how could you use an efficient resource like plastic, but not just draw down on resources that someday will disappear? So I consulted with a professor from the University of Antwerp, who teaches packaging and who is a specialist in sustainability. And she helped me rank best to worst. Best, of course, being no packaging. But how would you do that? You go to the store and you just stick your hands in a pile of beans and grab what you want and put it in your handbag? Like, what do you do? So you need packaging. And like I said, glass is not the best. And of course, there's also the high risk of breakage. And breakage, not just at home or in the store, but even in the production facility. And then glass ends up in your food. So glass is not as great as we think it is. So then within all the rest, the bioplastics, the compostable plastics, all this stuff, really the best option is recycled plastic. And then you get that circularity. You get a resource that is efficient to make, and then you just reuse it over and over and over. So my packaging is 100% recycled PET.
Just for listener, if you want to know more about that, we wrote an article about how the plastic would be perfect and nobody would have any problem about it if it was recycling infinitely. If we knew how to do that, plastic would not be a problem. So read that article, they will know more.
Great minds think alike, clearly.
thank you.
And so getting back to this idea of idealism versus pragmatism, of wanting to do the right thing versus facing the reality of trying to sell a product, I took the high road, and the high road is throwing mud back in my face. So basically there I'm facing the issue that, oh, it's plastic. No, we want glass. That's one feedback I get. And two is, oh, well, you know, the recycled PET I chose, you can't stick it in the microwave. So then I also faced that hurdle of, oh, well, it's inconvenient because you got to take it out of the packaging and then heat it. It's been a hard road. I would say to any entrepreneurs to think about that carefully. You got to weigh idealism versus pragmatism. Right now, I'm still trying to hold on to the way I have it set up. And I'm making some compromises, like trying to get to a smaller size so that the price point's lower. But that is a real lesson for me. Lesson learned is idealism versus pragmatism. I tried to avoid greenwashing. That's what I was trying to do. And that's what I still am trying to do.
Okay.
That is very laudable. With respect to future developments, what other products do you see as possibly made of from beans? For instance, we are in Belgium. Beer is a big thing. Can you brew a beer from beans?
It's funny you should say that, because my husband has that idea in his head. Maybe it's possible. I've never tried that, but I will say, There is a huge potential with beans in savory foods, in sweet foods, in beverages, in everything. It's amazing. So yes, I have big plans. In fact, I did read there are 400 varieties of known beans in the world that get used in food. There's way more than that. So I do have plans to create a much bigger line and think about it as a matrix where on the one hand, in the columns, you have all the different colors and varieties of beans. And that, you know, like I said, there's 400 of them. And then kind of in the rows, just imagine this chart, in the rows, that's where you have different forms of beans. So right now I have three stewed products, but I love bean burgers. So I've always had black bean burgers. There's this one recipe I love and I make it all the time. So I want to introduce that. You know, you can make brownies out of black beans. So I also want to introduce desserts at some point. Yes, they are good though. And I've actually had a really good white bean smoothie. It was a recipe, a cookbook by Joe Yonan called Cool Beans. And I would highly recommend it. It has like 200 recipes. And one of his recipes is white beans cooked, mango, mint, and coconut water. Or maybe it's coconut milk. And it was amazing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The versatility of beans. I just can't say enough. They're just amazing.
Before going on, I wanted to go back to agriculture because one of the things that are interesting, that what will be most interesting with beans is if they're local. And I know that you've worked with a farmer in the area to make him change his way of cultivating, you know, use a part of his field to do beans, and the results were great. Tell us about it.
He's a great guy. Thomas Twien, his company is called Peas and Beans, and he's actually the one bringing change to the world of agriculture. He actually worked in the field of agriculture, but his grandfather is a farmer and has a farm in East Flanders, and he's using some of this land to convert away from commodity crops like corn and plant legumes. And he started with chickpeas and red kidney beans. And I was just so excited that I had a local source. I was so excited that he was brave enough to try something new and to bring this crop to Belgium, bring these two crops to Belgium. And so he's the one I work with. And going back to idealism versus pragmatism, his land is not certified organic because he's in the middle of converting it. I'd rather support his effort for change and buy his beans rather than look for some organic source so I can slap the organic label on my packaging. And that also has been an obstacle. Many retailers have told me, you're not certified organic. I'm not interested. But I think it's more important that there are people like Thomas out there who are changing how we use our land locally. And I'd rather support that.
Yeah. And as we wrote in an article, being certified organic doesn't mean it is actually organic.
That's another discussion, exactly.
Exactly. Okay.
I think it's time to finish up, which brings us to our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand, what would you do with it over the next 5 years? What would you change?
Wow. So if I had a magic wand, oh my goodness, I have like two ideas. Okay. One idea is for myself. I would teleport myself to all places in the world where they grow beans that I have not discovered. And that's a lot of places. And I would bring them back to Europe and I would create products around it. And that's actually part of my long-term goal to do that. Not teleportation, but the part about the beans. And then if I could, you know, wave my magic wand and sort of change the world around me, I would. I know you're not going to like this answer. But I would ask all things in agriculture to talk to us, so animals in particular, and to explain to us humans that we're not using the land properly and to help foster change.
Okay.
Okay.
So, people, carnivore and omnivore, you should start to eat beans. So try to find a new shop nearby or on internet. We'll put the link below the podcast to Cool Beans Food to buy fresh beans. You'll be more sustainable. They'll be good. And you'll be able to feel good about yourself because you help the planet. Diane, thank you very, very much for this interview.
Thank you so much for having me here. I love talking about beans. Anytime you want me to talk more about beans, I am here. Thank you so much.
Okay.
See you next time.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.